The Peer Advantage, episode 5006. Welcome to the Peer Advantage podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Happy July. July the 5th, 2017, as I hit the record button. We're going to continue our chapter-by-chapter audio summary of a book by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari entitled The Power of Peers. Today, we're going to talk about Chapter 4. And this chapter begins the second part of the book, Part 2, which is about the five factors for peer advantage. Chapter 4 is on the first of these, which is select the right peers. Surrounding yourself with the right people is essential to peer advantage, write the authors, and of course that's right. Peer advantage doesn't come cheaply, but if you're in the right group where you share strong values, set clear goals, and commit yourself to the other members by giving and receiving, there's no limit to what you can accomplish. And this chapter is chock full of giving and receiving. If I had to tell you that there's some real central theme about selecting the right peers, it's about surrounding yourself with people that fully embrace this giving and receiving dynamic. How will I identify which peers can really help me? Is the question that you must ask and answer. And you should look, the author's note, you should look beyond mere credentials and titles. You need to think about how you approach hiring an employee. You're naturally looking for people who have certain skills and qualities, but you're also critical of how well are these people going to fit into the culture. And the same thing is true of your peer group. Good peer groups, they share a set of beliefs in pursuit of a common goal. And there are seven shared beliefs that are essential for a successful group. The group is smarter than any one individual. You may not be the smartest person in the room, but if you're the boss, if you're the owner, you likely are treated as though you are. The collective experience in the room is greater than any individual in the room, and you really need to believe that, and other people in the group must as well. You can diminish your team if you always think that you have to be the smartest guy in the room. Once you believe in the collective knowledge of the group, then you can stop judging and you can really start learning. Leaders benefit from insightful questions and advice from their peers. Hard questions can be asked in a group setting. Your fellow members care about your success, but without skin in the game, they're free to ask unfiltered questions. They're free to offer impartial advice. They're free to share their experiences because they only care about one thing, and that's serving you, helping you benefit from whatever they have to offer and to give you. Great questions and unfettered advice and feedback help members build trust and extend their relationship beyond the group meetings. In this chapter, the authors give a few examples of people who meet outside their group meetings because the relationships are so important to them and the dynamic is so valuable for them. They find themselves connecting outside the group meeting at their own leisure and for their own convenience and to get together more frequently. Leaders, regardless of industry, share aspirations and challenges. Common practice in one industry might be completely unheard of in another one. And people in the group need to believe that even though we may not share industry experience and know-how, we share aspirations and our challenges are not so different. You have likely lived long enough on the planet by now to have figured out that there's a lot, we have a lot more in common than not. Sharing ideas and sharing practices across industries can be a really powerful, powerful force for CEOs and for business owners. Next, people prefer to implement their own solutions. There's a difference between what you get from a consultant and what you get from a group of peers. Now, both of them can be valuable, but when a consultant makes recommendations, you are left to implement their ideas. In a group, when you get insights and experiences from a group of peers, you're being challenged to learn from your colleagues and to make a commitment to develop and implement your own solution. You're connecting your own dots. You're creating your own way. I mean, you take a group of CEOs or a group of business owners, you own your business. It's your business. Nobody's going to tell you how to run it. And sometimes I think people have the misunderstanding that this group is going to be a group of a bunch of advice givers. No, it's a peer advisory group. These are people that are a sounding board. They're sharing experiences. You've got to own your own particular strategy. And when you do that, and when you implement it, you're way more committed to be successful with it anyway, because, well, it's your idea. Next, success is often the best teacher. I joke around, although I do, seriously, I do this. I can sit with a client and they can throw some challenge that they have and they can want some feedback from me. And I've almost 100% of the time will say, well, is there anything that you've ever done that worked better than anything else in addressing this particular problem? And almost 100% of the time, they'll say, they'll flit their eyes around the room and they'll go, yeah. And you can tell they're thinking of something that might have worked a little bit better. And I'll say, okay, I'm fixing to lay some really profound wisdom on you. Do more of that. Stop doing that other stuff that ain't working. Stop doing that. And they chuckle, but the point is made. It's simple. It's direct. But boy, is it profound. When something works, we are more inclined to adopt it or stick with it. And until then, we might not trust it. We just might not trust it. Now, I've had on my phone for a long, long time an app called MyFitnessPal. Under Armour bought this app. And it's a really terrific app if you want to kind of track, you know, what you put in your mouth and you want to kind of track your exercise and things. And so I kind of put myself on this regimen. I wanted to lose a couple of pounds a week. And the goal is, okay, maybe drop 20 pounds, 25 pounds. And it's just easier to stick with because I'm tracking this stuff. And as I track it and the clothes are fitting a little more comfortably and I'm feeling a little bit better, makes it easier to stick with it. The same thing happens to all of us in every area of our life. Success can fuel our willingness to change. It's easier for me to stick with this and to make the changes I need to make because I see the payoff. Listening to and engaging in a peer group can fuel success when people are open to the strengths found in other people. It's liberating. It's liberating when you realize I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. I'm surrounded by these people who are perfectly capable and willing and ready to help me. I just need to kind of listen, figure things out for myself, and decide what I'm going to do. Next, peer accountability is a powerful force. Now, it's a force that we all experienced from the time we started school. And it wasn't just the students who understood it. Teachers did too. You know, what with their carrot and stick approach. Teachers would shine this light. You know, they would hold up the good student as, you know, this bastion of greatness that we all should aspire to. And at the same time, you know, that kid shooting spit wads, well, he got sent to the principal's office. In business, admission of failure to colleagues that you have failed them is a really tough admission. The respect of your colleagues is your greatest currency. You want to be regarded as somebody who will do what they say. You want to be taken as somebody who you're a man or you're a woman of your word. It's a culture of accountability that is found in a peer group. Shared beliefs are necessary if the group is going to engage in open and honest exchanges. And if we're going to create this safe, confidential space for sharing, if you have what it takes, well, then you're on your way to realizing the peer advantage. Shared goals. Those are important. Well, what do you want to accomplish? I don't know what you want to accomplish. I know that if you want to run a marathon, and this is the book cites this, if you want to run a marathon, then well, you know who to go surround yourself with. Yeah, other people who want to run a marathon. The Peer Advantage by Bula Network is designed to serve small, medium business owners who want to grow their business and they want to grow their own lives as business owners. Now, that necessarily means it's not for everybody. It's not designed for non-owners. I know a bunch of CEOs. I know a bunch of executives, but they're not owners. The Peer Advantage by Bula Network is not designed for them. I may form something later, but not now. Nor is it designed for owners who are satisfied. I know business owners who have been in business a long, long time, and they've achieved a whole lot of success. They're done. They don't care. I know others who have not been doing it anywhere near as long, but they don't want to be any bigger. They rather like the smallness and the scope of their enterprise. They're not interested in growth. They're interested in maintaining. Well, the Peer Advantage by Bula Network is not for them either. And that's how we make sure that the conversations are congruent with every member of the group, because everybody in the group, they're going to be a small to medium business owner, and they want to grow. They want their business to grow, and they want to grow as people. They want to grow as owners, as leaders. How will you know if you're in the right group? Well, the group will let you know. I mean, by their very nature, peer groups provide honest and direct feedback. If you are apprehensive about your interactions with the group, the chances are they are equally apprehensive about you. Now, typically, many CEO groups, the leader of the group will do a 90-day check-in with members to see, are you getting value out of this? What are you getting out of this? And to give each member feedback on their participation. And as always, good communication, that's the glue. That's the glue to it all. That keeps it all together. Good communication is the glue that holds any relationship together. And as I said at the outset, this chapter is just chock full of this one big theme, and that is it's about giving and receiving. We can fall into the trap of thinking that we're giving a lot more than we're getting, and the book does a good job of citing a few examples of that, particularly of employees who can be asked, well, in your job, are you giving more than you're getting? And invariably, many employees are going, well, yeah, I'm working this many hours, and I do this, and I do that, and I make this contribution and that contribution, and they only pay me X, and when people embrace a different view, though, one that recognizes all the benefits that we're getting as opposed to solely concentrating on what we feel like we're giving, then we can avail ourselves of the benefits of the peer advantage. As a side note here, in a lot of the work that I do, you know, that's probably more spiritual and church related, families and marriages have been a big deal for me for as long as I can remember. And having been married almost 40 years myself, it's really important to me. I really care deeply about husbands and wives working together and about the family unit. And in all of the work that I have done in trying to serve husbands and wives going through difficult times, it's very commonplace, no matter how long we've been married, because we're looking through our lens. We're looking through our eyes all the time. We're looking through our set of expectations. And it's just very, very easy for us to feel like, you know, we're doing all the giving. And we may not feel like we're getting much in return. And the same principle that these authors hold forth about business groups, I think, are true in our marriages. We're not thinking clearly, and we're not looking at this properly. We're not recognizing all the benefits that we're getting. We're just solely concentrated on what we feel like we're giving or what we feel like we're sacrificing. And so the authors pose this question or this comment, this statement, which is very good. If you're wondering if a peer advisory group is right for you, ask yourself if you believe in the true meaning of the phrase, it's better to give than receive. And I think that's spot on. If you're wondering if a peer advisory group is right for you, then you need to ask yourself if you truly believe it's better to give than receive. And that doesn't mean that you should give more than you receive. It just means that giving is receiving in more ways than one. And in the context of a peer advisory group, the authors make the argument that if you're prepared to give 100% of yourself to the group, then depending on the size of the group, depending on the number of members in the group, we can measure ROI at least in one particular way, and that is the people in the group who are willing to serve you. So let's take the Peer Advantage by Bula Network. These are going to be virtual groups, 7 people in the group with me leading, so that's 8 of us. So if you're a member of one of these groups, and I hope that you will be, but if you're one of these, then that means there are 7 others of us who are there to serve you. That's a 7 times ROI. If you merely judge it based on that, and I think there are many other ways that you could judge it, but that's just one way. Well, think of it like this. If I were to tell you, give me a dollar bill and I'm going to give you 7 in return, you'll be whipping out ones all day long. You'll make that trade all day long. That's what happens with a peer advantage, a peer advisory group, where the members are fully committed to serve each other. So here's the summary for chapter 4. A peer group is smarter than any one individual. Leaders benefit from insightful questions and impartial advice from their peers. People prefer to implement their own solutions. Mostly, we don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be told how to do it. But we need some help. We need some people asking us some hard questions, and we need people giving us some of their insight so that we can make better decisions. Success is the most effective means for driving positive behavioral change. Leaders, regardless of industry sector, we share common aspirations, and we share a lot of common challenges. And leaders benefit from learning about industry practices that are not common to their own business. And then peer accountability. Peer accountability is a powerful, powerful force. The value of your group is negotiated between you and your group members based on one simple formula. The more you give, the more you receive. And there you have it. Chapter 4, The Power of Peers by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari. I want to give you 3 calls to action. I know I should just give you one, but you're smart. You're intelligent. You're sophisticated. You can handle 3. I know. I've got confidence in you. Here they are. Number 1, I want you to seek out one or more people to connect with. And I want you to connect with them based on nothing more than what you feel you can do to serve them. No expectation on what you can get out of the deal. Just focus on what you can give, on how you can help them. Number 2, I want you to really think about these things, especially today's episode. I want you to let these ideas of sharing experiences and sharing insights and sharing expertise, I want those to resonate with you. I want you to keep thinking about what you can do for other people, and I want you to think about how much value they have to offer you in your life and in your business. And thirdly, if you own a business, and it doesn't matter if you're running a business that does $1 million a year or one that does $300 million a year. If you own a business and you think a small, intimate, virtual group, online group, that makes participating in a peer advisory group super easy, super convenient, and ridiculously cost effective. If you think that might bring value to you and you are intent on growing your business and your life, then I want you to email me. Email me at Randy Cantrell at Bula, B-U-L-A, BulaNetwork.com. That's Randy Cantrell at BulaNetwork.com. You can find the show notes and that email address over at the website, Grow Great. Just go find episode 5006. And you'll see it. Well, one last thing. Thank you. I appreciate you listening. Next time, we will dive into Chapter 5. Chapter 5 is entitled Create a Safe Environment. That's it. I'm done, kids. Thanks for listening. Now go out and make it a good day. Thanks. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.